own HBO box. You'll get to try again tomorrow at noon Eastern. Tweet the box plus hashtag HBO box challenge plus hashtag giveaway tomorrow at 12. And they're giving you away, I don't know, it doesn't say how many.
So strange.
I find the whole thing very strange, but it appears to be real. So enter away if you, oh, good job, site. Just keep loading those ads. Meet the criteria. That said, I did appreciate the tagline at the very end of the video. HBO box is literally our middle name. That's a good joke. Best of luck trying to win your own jerk off chamber. I mean, viewing enclosure.
I mean, is it supposed to be used in public? Is that the idea?
Well, not according to these pictures. It looks like it's supposed to be used on your bed.
So strange.
It is kind of strange.
If you're in your own bed, why are you being...
Well, for students, they're assuming that you're at a dorm room.
I guess you're living
at least with one other person. So you can be in your nice little enclosed area and not have to pay attention to anybody else.
Clearly not made for fat people.
It doesn't look like it, at least.
Yeah, it definitely needs to.
Which is a good question of, like, hey, it says cardboard, right?
It does say cardboard, I know this.
So it's very rigid. How big are the openings, then, for the person?
I'm guessing it's probably just the bottom half of it is not, or the bottom is not there.
But, I mean, how big are those openings? Like, how much, because then it's not going to be as... light blocking as you would hope it would be.
That's true.
What I'm saying.
I'm guessing it doesn't give dimensions of said box.
Not here, it doesn't.
First question they ask you in the thing is, are you less than 5 foot tall?
Oh,
do
God.
You weigh 85 pounds? No, this box may not be for you.
Box wouldn't definitely be for me. Go back to my old Amazon boxes then. Fine, whatever.
Joe just has a bunch of Amazon boxes taped together.
Yeah.
To make a shell.
Isn't that what you use them for?
No, I make cat beds out of them.
No, fair enough. I don't have cats.
Oh, well. Like the box for the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, I took it off, and there's like three cats just staring at it. Like, why isn't this down on the floor yet?
Right.
And I was like, oh, let me get the trash out of it. Lay it down right in. I was like...
That's in their boxes, man. They just love those things.
I love that shit. I don't know what this picture of Andy Serkis is from, but he's signing a giant bottle of something.
What side are you on?
Coming soon. It's the article about him intoxicating Alfred Pennyworth in the Batman. But it's him. Like, there's a bunch of signatures on this bottle, but it's like, why is there a bottle of champagne? Or champagne, as the French say. Which I'm pretty sure is not correct.
Champagne? Is that Brannigan would say?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, what is that?
It's a giant bottle of champagne.
I wonder if it's not an event for that champagne.
The thing in the back is a giant label, but it's like, what a weird thing. We're auctioning off a giant bottle signed by celebrities.
It's probably what it is.
Most likely.
What do you think of that casting?
I think that'd be really good.
I think it'd be fantastic. It seems like it'd echo the Batman Year One type Alfred.
Yeah, more of a badassery dude.
Fuck yeah.
Versus the older,
wiser,
stodgier one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the classic Alfred that everyone looks at is obviously like for non-comic book, because that comic book version always seems to be an odd age every time. Like he's older, but like sometimes super old and sometimes not super old. But like animated series, for example, which is the number one thing most people go right to, is he's fairly old.
Yeah.
Like he's probably early 70s.
Easily.
And then you have like the Nolan one where they had Chris... wow.
You good?
Woo! Yes, Christopher Nolan's Batman ones, the Nolanverse, or whatever you want to call them. You had, what's his name? Michael Caine.
Yes.
And he was, you know, mid to late 60s or so, probably around there.
Yeah.
But he was the classic, more classical butler type situation where he was, you know, obviously helping with everyday chores and stuff like that, trying to get him to eat and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what you're saying, like the year one stuff, he's probably closer to his mid to late 40s. And he's, in that one, he's an ex MI5 agent, right?
Yeah, he was something like that.
Yeah, he was like an army guy. And he's a badass, has a limp from a war injury, and then he ends up fucking shotgunning someone in the chest.
Which is what I hope they go for here with Andy Serkis.
Well, that Pennywise show, or Pennyworth show that they're doing on Epics, I think is what it's on, focuses around the younger Alfred Pennyworth. And I think in that show he's already the butler to the Waynes,
mm-hmm.
but he's in his like mid to late 30s, early 40s, something like that. He's older than, you know, he would be. I think they've shown a picture of Bruce and he's like 10, 12 years old in that, okay. I think. So I have no idea what the show's about other than Alfred. Other than
that, you know, it's about Alfred, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't looked into it because I don't even know if I actually have access to Epics or not.
I don't at all.
I don't know what channel even is on DirecTV. I've seen an ad for it, but I never really looked at it. And I saw a thing that like they gave it a second greenlit for a second season already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is it airing now, or is it just...
First season's already on, yeah. Oh. I mean, I could probably look it up, but...
You could look it up. Even if I had access to it right now, I don't even think I'd watch it. There's too much goddamn TV.
So much fucking shit going on. It's going to get worse here in a second. Have you watched any of the Apple TV stuff?
No.
I know Adam has it.
I haven't yet. I was so excited about that, and then I was like, okay, how can I fit this into my schedule? Okay, well, let's see. This Sunday, obviously, you have new Family Guy, Bob's Burger, Simpsons, so that's an hour and a half right there.
And Sunday was?
Well, and Sunday was His Dark Materials.
No, Monday was
Monday was His Dark Materials.
Sunday was Watchmen. Yep.
So you know, you have those shows, and then Jack Ryan. I'm still trying to get through. I've only watched two episodes of. Obviously, like I said, His Dark Materials came out. In the next couple of weeks, we're gonna have Man in the High Castle season 4, I think it is.
Yep.
Come out. And there's something else.
Mandalorian starts next week.
Mandalorian does start next week, although I don't have a Disney Plus yet. I thought there was something else. No. But anyway, yeah, so that's like I don't even have enough time between work and then working out and then like going to bed. Oh, hockey. That's the other thing. Like
it's
every couple of days. You know, so watching that is eating through my time as well.
It doesn't help much.
No, it doesn't help at all. So there's just almost too much on TV to watch right now. South Park, that's another one too. South Park every Wednesday.
Yeah, I haven't watched the new season yet.
It's funny. It's good. It's okay.
Okay.
It mostly focuses around Randy and his new. Marijuana farm, literally.
Okay.
Just a farm where he grows marijuana because of all the whole, you know, pot's legal type stuff. It's called Tegrity Farms. They switched the whole entire intro to Randy singing about Tegrity Farms instead of the original South Park theme song.
There's a British SAS soldier in the show. I'm looking at Pennyworth right now.
So that's pretty much
year one.
Year one, right there. Yeah.
So it says Pennyworth explores the early life of titular Wayne family butler Alfred Pennyworth, a former British SAS soldier who is forming his own security company in the alternate London, which combines aspects of London in the 1950s and 60s with invented events. Good Lord, that's terrible. And practices for example, televised public executions. Alfred becomes a target of the Raven Society, a group conspiring to take over. I'm not doing okay at all. Take over the British government and begins working against them alongside American agents of the No Name League. Thomas Wayne and Martha Kane, the future parents of Bruce Wayne, Batman. Interesting.
That does sound pretty interesting.
That's very, so I mean, it doesn't say what year it is set in, but I'm gonna guess if it's him as younger and Bruce isn't born yet, it's gonna be probably 50s, 60s, 70s, somewhere around there. Depending on when they want to make Bruce be born in this.
Yeah.
But character-wise, it has his parents in it. It has Arthur and Mary Pennyworth. Apparently, this Arthur Pennyworth, his father, works as a butler.
Yeah.
I just don't know. It doesn't say if he ever worked for the Waynes. He just says a butler in this one. There's a character called the Queen.
Interesting. Literally is the Queen.
It just says as the Queen. Hmm. I'm guessing that's a moniker for some kind of crime lord. Danny Webb as John Ripper, a local crime lord who develops a friendship with Alfred. Oh, well, Richard Coulthier as the Prime Minister. Yeah. Another SAS agent or officer, whatever you want to call him. Interesting.
Going back to the Queen, that'd be cool if they worked in some older or Batman villains, because you do have the, the Full House gang?
Yeah, because you have the King, Queen, Jack, and Ace.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We'll have to figure out how to watch that, because that does actually sound interesting. Does it say if it's available anywhere else for like purchase on Apple TV Plus or not Apple TV Plus, but Apple TV?
Yeah, it just says Epic. Epix. E-P-I-X. Epix.
They were their own movie channel for a while, weren't they?
Yeah. Ben Aldridge as Thomas Wayne, a wealthy young American doctor from Gotham City who is impressed with Alfred's skills and hopes to hire him. Wayne is secretly an agent of the CIA working undercover with No Name League, which is I know that was used in a Batman storyline a long time ago. I don't remember who wrote that one. I don't remember who it was. It was somebody. It turns out that both Thomas and Martha were CIA agents.
Okay.
And they were doctors. They're truly doctors.
Right.
Or he was. I don't remember what she was. And that's one of the reasons they got kind of knowledge of criminals and stuff like that. And so when he went into business and started making Wayne Enterprises, he used a lot of that CIA contacts to, fudge out the bad people or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And that's being CIA agents is what actually got them killed.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up being that it wasn't just a random mugger outside of a movie theater. It was a hit.
Okay.
I can't remember who it was. But so I'm guessing they're playing off of that. Which is funny because there's a Spider-Man story written where Spider-Man finds that he has a sister, and his parents were actually secret agents.
Right.
Mark Waid wrote it, right? It's over here somewhere.
I don't remember who wrote that. I do remember reading that one.
Family Business somewhere. It's over here in this fucking wall of comic books somewhere. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, so interesting. I'll have to check that out at one point. If I can. I was walking around the store yesterday, I think it was. I was walking by media, and I saw Doom Patrol on Blu-ray.
Right.
And I was like, weird. Seems so strange. I know Netflix does it, but it's like, do you think it garnered enough viewing to need it to be on Blu-ray for someone to physically buy?
No. I don't think it did, honestly.
Yeah, it's just so strange to me.
But they still just release it on Blu-ray just for those people that's how they buy stuff.
So this day and age, it seems like you're wasting time and money.
On physical media, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the trailer for M. Night Shyamalan's new series on Apple TV is out.
Oh, yeah? What was that? I can't remember.
It's called Servant.
Servant?
Yeah, it's like about this like family that... I remember reading a description a while ago. Family gets like a caretaker or something for their... like a nanny type person for their like younger son or something like that. And like she ends up being like spooky or somehow.
Show concerns a Philadelphia couple who hire a nanny to watch over their unusual baby.
Oh, what the fuck? Unusual baby.
Things get creepy immediately. Watch the Servant trailer below.
Oh, that picture's unsettling.
What was that old movie? Rosemary's Baby?
Well, no, Rosemary's Baby, she was all about...
It was about the evil...
Yeah, evil baby.
Baby, yeah.
The thumbnail they use for the video is unsettling.
Is it the one with the kid's back, the back of the kid's head?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. Does he have, like, flippers, or what's wrong with his heck of fucking head? Like, all the hair is, like, right here. I don't know how babies' heads are, but,
no, but you're
it
right.
Seems
like
it seems like, odd.
It seems like he'd be, like, bald up front, and then just one patch of hair in
like
the back.
Like, on the back of his crown, the crown of his head,
just
or whatever.
Come out, like, really far.
Yeah, what the fuck? Whatever, I don't know.
I'll give it a shot. Eventually.
So created by Tony Bazgallup, I guess. Servant will follow the story of a Philadelphia couple in mourning after an unspeakable tragedy creates a rift in their marriage and opens the door for a mysterious force to enter their home.
Well, that sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, that seems fucking weird. The series will have 10 half-hour episodes, and Shyamalan is slated to direct the first episode.
Is that Ron Weasley?
I didn't start it up. I gotta make sure I have no volume.
Oh, whoa.
I ain't paying for this shit.
That dude just picked the kid up by his feet and just held him there.
Oh, that's that fucking picture I saw of the fucking kid. It has, like, weirdly big eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that picture's from. That's fucked up. It's really weird to not hear volume.
It is, and it what's unsettling is that there are definite scenes where it's a really good fake baby,
but it's like
a fake
baby.
And then there's scenes with an actual real baby, and I think that like there's a scene where it's in the crib just towards the end there, and you're like, that's just a fake kid.
So is like did they give birth to a puppet? Is that the problem? It is Ron Weasley.
Right? It's Ron Weasley.
Oh, shit. That's Toby Cabal. What the fuck? Wait, did he pick him by his tail or feet?
Feet. He just grabbed him by his feet. Oh, just hauled his ass up. And then when
that's
he puts
not
him
real?
On, when he puts him on the lap, it looks like a fake baby, right?
Yeah,
like a real doll fake baby.
Yeah, it's super creepy. Oh, God. And the swing.
But then swing, it looks like a real kid. It's
yeah,
natural.
But it's creepy. It's the face.
It is a real, yeah.
Half-hour episodes is weird. I mean, they might tell us in this trailer what's wrong with the baby, but we can't hear
it. Yeah, we're not listening to the
audio. It just is the fact that the baby just ends up turning into, like, a fucking mannequin at one point. Is that the problem? Because it seems like they're doing something weird with the baby. There's a lot of noticeable people.
Oh, no, here. So the infant died at 13 weeks old, and the couple now has a reborn doll.
Oh, God, that's
why.
By the way. Yeah, okay.
Doll's meant to help grieving parents cope with their sudden loss, which is fine, but why hire a nanny to look after it?
They're pretending that it's still real.
That is the real kid.
But the nanny seems creepy, too.
The whole thing seems creepy.
That's why it looks like that's why it looks like that doll. I've seen that before, that's why. It wasn't a picture of that doll that I've seen, but I've seen one of those real dolls. And did you know in that they actually have, because that company will sell them to people who lose a baby, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But it's also, you can be prescribed one by a therapist because of things like that.
Okay.
And they have ones, they'll age them for you up to like I think it's up to 2 years.
That's starting to get, I mean, I suppose there's a real medical reason for stuff like that, but that's, it's weird to me.
Yeah, it's very strange. That's one of those things where you take something like the, like,
oh, I clicked on the link. Let's see where this goes. This is going to
don't do
me
it.
Out.
Like, it seems like one of those things where it's kind of like exploitive to people's, like, no, turn that away. I'll throw your iPad in the trash. That's disturbing.
They look so real.
Yeah, but they really fucking creepy is what they look.
Really weird to call it Series Twin A.
Oh, God.
It's like a model line. Series Saskia, Series April, Harlow.
They give them names?
So, some of them, yeah. Otherwise, you have 17-inch full silicone Journey Reborn baby doll girl.
Good God.
22-inch Little Best Reborn.
Jesus Christ. That's disturbing as shit. Well, on that note, let's talk about something else that's not super creepy.
So one thing we didn't talk about is we didn't mention that along with Andy Serkis, we're going to get, it looks like, Colin Farrell to play the Penguin in, what was it called? The Batman.
Yeah.
Movie, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially the first time that the image that I saw when they, the article that I saw, they used the image from as Grindelwald, so he's got that like gray going along the side.
Yeah,
I was like,
it's super thin. Yeah,
I was like, that image right there. If they use something like that for the Penguin or Oswald Cobblepot, because he is a very dapper person. He doesn't have to be a Danny DeVito type, you know, huge kind of big guy or a classic Batman.
It's very similar to what they did in the Gotham show too.
Is it?
Yeah, because they used the skinny kid, who I thought would have. He looks creepier as the Riddler to me.
Mm-hmm.
He would have, but he did make a pretty cool looking, I never watched the show, but I saw images and stuff, but image wise he looked like a very cool looking Penguin, because he was scrawny.
Mm-hmm.
Like Penguin throughout the comic books, obviously the Tim Burton Batman Returns with Danny DeVito, they went that classic fat man.
Yes.
But I want to say it was in the Batman cartoon, the animated one, I think they did a thinner one too, where he's just like kind of emaciated in a way. But that kid was, the actor that played him in Gotham was in Walking Dead.
In like season, Walking Dead
season three, I think. It's when they get to Terminus.
Okay.
And they're like, the spoiler for fucking 9 years ago, they were eating people.
Yeah.
They would kill him. And then there's like the room. There's a big warehouse that had that kid, which I can't think of his name right now. He's blonde in the show. Glenn and I think Rick were in there, and they were executing people. They're cutting their throats and bleeding them out.
I do vaguely remember that kid.
And he got killed in that episode. He was only in like three episodes or something like that. But he was in that. And then I remember they said, "Oh, he's been cast as the Penguin in." Or Cobblepot in Gotham. Because I think in Gotham, if I remember correctly, they don't actually call him by their names. I think someone refers to him as a Penguin because he's wearing a suit at that point, but I think a lot of them didn't go by their names because they weren't masks yet.
Yeah.
Even though most of the Batman villains don't ever actually wear masks. Like the Riddler does at one point, but then he kind of goes away from it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, actually... and not to promote my own show, but on my podcast I went up today, I talked about Harleen, the new Black Label.
I haven't gotten to read it yet, yeah.
Wow, what a fucking good book.
If the imagery that they use for it, because it's very photorealistic.
No, that's the Joker Harleen.
Oh, that's the Joker Harleen.
Harleen is
the other one that they did, yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere behind me. This one.
Yes.
Yeah. In it, they show, you only see Joker, like you see a bunch of classic ones. You see a picture of Mr. Freeze, and he's wearing the dome.
Uh-huh.
But they have, at one point, she's doing an interview with a bunch of the insane in Arkham, and... Every picture you see, like Zaz, you see there, and you see like guy who looks like, well, he's, you see the Riddler and things like Villain Rule. And then there's a picture of Killer Croc, and he's got the manacles on and he's got the fucking head thing on, but he's massive. And it's funny because every other picture, and I'll show you when we're done, but you see him, and it's like, oh, normal person, you know, see over her shoulder, normal person, and then Killer Croc, she's like this big in the table, and he's like fucking massive. It's so dope looking.
As he fucking should be.
Yeah, and he looks like a crocodile. Like, as he's, he should be. Yeah, it's fucking, fucking crazy. And then Joker's done in an interesting way. And they don't really tell about his origin, which is kind of cool because, I even said it last night, they kind of do the thing that, like, Nolan did, where, like, he starts telling stories, but they're, you can tell they're never real.
Yeah.
But they're weirdly embellished in ways. So you don't really know his origin, but you think there's some truth sprinkled in and out of him. But he has, like, long hair and green, his skin is white. But he's not, it doesn't look like he's wearing makeup. But he's got a very angular face. It reminds me of if they took Heath Ledger's Joker aesthetic without the scarred mouth, like the long stringy hair.
Yeah.
And mixed it with the animated Batman Joker, the very, very angular, like, face, yeah, face. It's very much like that. But the art in that book is, even that one is stunning. The Joker Harley criminal sanity one is that photorealistic nonsense, which just makes me think they filmed a show and just took pictures from it. But, that book is, it's cool because it delves into the psychology more, and it's more, it's a retelling or reimagining of Harley's origin and her, like, first experience with the Joker. It's a really good book. You should read it. I know you own it, so you get to it eventually if you ever find time. Speaking of finding time, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Who watches The Watchmen?
I watched The Watchmen.
Fuck yeah, you do.
Yeah.
By the way, comes naturally, we are...
Oh yeah, Joe.
I am Cody. That empty space was for Mike because he's not here, recovering from getting a piece of his body removed from him that was slowly trying to kill him. His gallbladder, which I don't think is actually
fuck
a thing.
That gallbladder.
Yeah, fuck that thing. But anyhow, we are talking about The Watchmen today, or Watchmen, the TV show, which I'll just say is fucking tremendous.
It's so fucking good.
I didn't not think it was going to be good. We've talked about it here. I was very nervous of how they're going to do it. When we found out it was not an adaptation, but a sequel.
Right.
Which I thought is probably the best way to do it. Because I think viewing the first three episodes, I think they could do Watchmen. They could do a live action adaptation TV show of it. I mean, obviously Scott Snyder did an amazing job with the movie.
Yeah.
Other than the one scene he changed, whatever, I don't fucking care about it. But I truly think they could do a justification, because people always say, "Oh, it's unfilmable," which I never understood, because it's
at the time it was probably unfilmable.
Yeah, I mean,
because of the graphic
in the '80s,
exactly, because of how graphic it was, and sexually, and also, you know, just violence and stuff like that.
But it's like nowadays, like, that shit, you could do that for cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen what Dr. Manhattan looks like yet on the show, other than the clips, they
glimpses of it.
Yeah, like, we see that one where he's standing in there and he reaches down and he has a blue hand. That's just painting a guy blue.
But you've also seen the part where he's, like, building a castle.
Yeah, and he's like, and this, like, little speck,
but it's
on,
like,
there,
a little tiny speck, and knocks it down. What he's been doing for apparently 30 years.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
It's interesting because when we found out it's going to be a sequel, a lot of people was like, oh, okay, so it's going to be, like, older versions of the ones that are still alive, clearly. And so far, up to episode 3, the only two returning people we know of are Dr. Manhattan, which know still exists.
He's still there, yes.
Because they tease him and then they show him on Mars. And everyone's like, oh, he's still on Mars, right?
What? They tease they show the weird phone booths that apparently all around the United States or something like that.
Yeah, and then they show it in episode 3, and I was like,
It's a weird thing that you just kind of like fucking strange thing. Dr. Manhattan and what,
yeah, like sends a transmission.
Who built this and why type thing.
Yeah, it was real fucking weird.
But then to go along with Dr. Manhattan in the episode three, you have what's her name? Something Blake.
Yeah. So
Silk Spectre 2, I think it is. Or
she's Silk Spectre 2, yeah. Which is it's interesting.
Lori Blake.
Lori Blake, yeah. That it's interesting, and I didn't think about it before because I knew she was playing Lori Blake beforehand because it was spoiled that she was playing Lori Blake. Well, not spoiled, it was in the trailer where they say,
well, I suppose Agent Blake. The third one, too, that I don't understand why people were surprised by this, Jeremy Irons' character.
Well, yeah, the reason they were surprised because he was always billed as older man or something like that. Like, he was never billed as Adrian Voight.
Yeah.
Or Ozymandias, which, by the way, when he put the fucking costume at the end of episode... Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
Episode 3. I was like, oh, they could do it. They could totally do it. It looks so good. That outfit looks so good. I mean, we knew it did because it looked exactly like it did from the movie with more purple. But I was like...
Even earlier in that episode where they had the dude that was basically a Batman analogous character.
Yeah.
With the FBI.
The Revenger.
Scene was whole... Was... fucking intense and awesome.
Yeah, nuts.
You see that costume and you're like, yeah, they could totally do all these other costumes.
The Revenger, is that what they called him?
I think it was the Revenger or something like that.
Yeah. They said two different names and then he's like, no, he's the Revenger or some nonsense.
You know, because he calls it, somebody calls him the Revenger and she goes, no, it's just Revenger.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. But what got me, I mean, first episode was just tremendous in general. But this third episode, when they introduce they reintroduce Lori Blake, formerly known as Silk Spectre 2, they did such a good job with that character.
Oh, fantastic.
Because she's her father's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
In the worst way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was funny to me when it starts off and she's in the booth and she's calling or she's leaving a message for Dr. Manhattan, which such a weird thing. It's like a weird
thing to do.
Also, like, do people believe he has a phone booth on Mars that he's just picking up these?
Do they treat him like a god type thing? Is that's yeah. Everything? Is this your literal connection to be praying to
a because it says, like, even, like, transmission sent. Like, yeah. Do they expect him to have, like, a ham radio up there? He's like, oh, here comes a message. Like,
well, that's what I mean, yeah.
So strange.
That's what I mean. It's just something that they're just, like, sending out there.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
But what was crazy about it is, like, she goes in and she tells him a joke.
When she starts telling the joke.
Yeah, and I was like.
Messes it up,
yeah. And I was like,
fantastic.
This bitch is perfect. Like, they did such a good job. And then the bank scene, she's always white. She was wisecracking the guy. She's like a
callous asshole.
Yeah, I was like,
the whole entire show.
Oh my god! Like,
she shoots the one dude at the gravesite, just dead, and just like, I thought that he was lying.
I thought it was a bluff.
I thought that was a bluff.
I was like, clearly
did not give a shit about just shooting that dude,
which was. Perfect. I was like, well, clearly the people writing this are definitely fans, if not did a shit ton of research.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they have because I've been watching a lot of interviews and I listen to, which is weird to me that this is a thing that's happening now more, but like official podcasts are coming out for things.
Yeah.
Like WWE just did it. They have their first official WWE podcast called After the Bell with Corey Graves. And then announced at the end of Episode 3, they announced the official HBO-produced podcast for The Watchmen, which is cool because, A, it's the whole thing apparently is going to be... I think they said it's going to be 6 episodes, I think they said it was. And the first episode came out on Monday morning, and it was... Or Sunday night. When was it Monday morning? I can't remember. But it was... It's essentially just Damon and Craig, the guy who did Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's them just talking about the show and the book.
Which is cool.
Yeah, so you kind of get this behind-the-scenes stuff. But, like...
On a real quick different subject, did you hear that Netflix is actually doing a serialized audio podcast type thing?
For what?
It's an actual show. I can't remember what it was about. It was about something about like a post-apocalyptic type. These kids are just like recording themselves
during
this post-apocalyptic world. So that's what the show is about. And it's going to be an audio podcast.
Interesting.
Or a dramatization, I should say.
Huh. But so it's not a show about them making a podcast.
It's not a show about them making
a podcast. It's an actual podcast.
It's an actual podcast. It's a dramatization about these kids who are living, who are doing essentially like what we're doing, but in the apocalypse. They're talking about their experiences after, like, you know, this, some cataclysm happened. It's really weird sounding.
It's very strange that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Like, if you said it was, like, a show about kids who make a podcast during the apocalypse, I'd have been like, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But making an actual podcast, it's okay.
It'll be interesting to listen to if I remember when it. I don't remember when it comes out, but
yeah, because like for the big thing for like a lot of, I don't want to say genre shows, but very popular shows, Stranger Things did it for season two, but never continued it for season three. They did the after show episodes they did for season two. Obviously, Walking Dead has Talking Dead afterwards. A couple other shows have done it throughout time. Will Wheaton did one for another show, and I can't remember what it was right now. It was a pretty popular show. Will Wheaton did that? I think it was Will Wheaton that did that. Anyways, so that was like a thing for a little while for genre shows to do. But with like the problem with Netflix doing one is you can binge watch all the episodes of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So having an after show makes no sense unless you're going to stop watching one episode, go to another. I'm like, no, I'm not going to stop. If I have the option to binge watch it, I'm going to finish this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to do a podcast. I thought actually what made the Watchmen one really good is the fact that they did it on the first three episodes. And Craig, the guy who does it opposite Damon, has only seen the first three episodes.
Oh, interesting.
Because a lot of people who get a chance to screen the show, they were only given the first three episodes.
Okay.
So for press, they were only given, even though essentially they're done. Like, I think Damon, literally when the first episode went up, Damon mentioned he was finishing final edits of stuff of the last episode, episode 9. So it's interesting to see, but yeah, like they had a bunch of the cast members on Build, a show they do at the Build for the Build Network, which is a Yahoo thing, I think. Anyways, it's a Build Studios in New York. They interviewed a bunch of the people in it, Jeremy Irons, Regina King, I mean, most of the main cast was on there. The only one wasn't on there was Don Johnson wasn't on there. And I think Tim Blake Nelson was on there. But anyways, Damon was talking about how they have all these things and like all these two you think are separate storylines going on. The whole thing with Regina Keegan's character, Angela Abar, and what we now know is Adrian Voight. Are seemingly so far apart.
Yeah.
But we know it's Watchmen, so we know they're somehow they're connected.
Yeah.
Especially with Laurie Blake being involved because she has a relationship with Adrian Voight. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously in Dr. Manhattan. But like it was interesting because he's like, don't worry, they're gonna meet up. They're not diverging paths. They're literally leading to one thing. But that brings up the point, and they even said it on there, and I think he said it on another interview I watched. I have no fucking clue what he's doing.
Thank God. I was going to ask the exact same thing. Every single time that you're introduced to him at the end of the episodes, he's doing something different.
Yeah.
Almost every single time.
It's leading to one thing, but you don't know.
It's leading to one thing, but it's such a weird way to get there. And admittedly, I don't remember what they did at the end of the first first episode, but the second episode is where
it was, I'm writing a play.
And the second episode, you get to see the play.
Yeah.
And then the third episode,
he tries to launch someone into space with.
But we don't even know if he did, if that's what he did, because yeah. all you just see is he's buttoning up one of his clones, his clone butlers.
I don't know if they're clones.
We don't know if they're not yet, though. Yeah. Like, they all look the same.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird.
He seems to have a lot of them, because at the end of the second episode, he...
They're everywhere on the stage.
He literally... Yeah, they're everywhere on the stage, but then he literally what's that Hugh Jackman movie where he kills the one guy...
Oh, Prestigious?
Prestige, yeah. He literally prestiged one dude, or he just lit him on fire inside the box to simulate Dr. Manhattan... coming into the world.
Yeah, basically being deatomized.
Yeah, and just fucking lit him on fire
and lowered a painted blue guy with a giant
fencing helmet, essentially.
Yeah, it made him look like McMahon. Yeah,
yeah. And then in the third episode, he's making some sort of suit to send one guy to somewhere, which I can only assume he seems to have the fascination with Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah,
it has to be he's trying to get to Mars or something.
Yeah,
but why he's like freezing this dude is like frozen solid all the way through. You know, at the end of episode three, where he's just sitting there stamping him because he's pissed off that it didn't work.
When he trips over his arm and breaks it off,
yeah, exactly.
So funny.
No clue what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, and then
who the hell is the game warden? Where the hell is he right now? Like,
they filmed it in Welsh. In Wales.
But, even
I don't know where he is in the story. Like, where, yeah.
You know, they make mention that there's a rumor that he got plastic surgery or something.
And then moved to Venezuela.
And he moved to Venezuela.
Yeah.
It's a very Nazi-ish thing to say, because that's a lot of, after World War II, supposedly a lot of Nazis went to Venezuela or South America to hide out after the war. So
because it had nothing to do with either sides.
It's a very interesting thing that they throw that in there as where he is. And they even say his name. They call him something else now, and that turns out to be his name.
Yeah.
And that's where you get the link of, like, oh, that's him. And then he's wearing the suit at the end.
It's so good. Which they tease, because they show the domino mask. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you see him, and I was like, oh, so good. But, yeah, like...
But what the fuck is he doing?
I don't know. It's so fucking... Like, I don't know what...
They mentioned that he invented all this technology that they use.
Yeah, like the millennial clock they finally show up close. It's... I don't know, it's so weird because, like, they mention that the one lady bought his company out.
Mm-hmm.
They bought Vought Industries, I think it's called. Vought Industries. And then, like, he's... Obviously, a remote area, because when they showed the game warden, it looked like one of the clones, or whatever these fucking things are.
Right, he had a mask on.
He did. He had a mask on, but the facial design, like, he was a domino mask.
Yeah.
But it's like, why? Right? Like, it seems like he's built this. Like, he's acting out his own story.
Yeah.
And he's making it all up himself. Like, the Game Warden's just one of these clone thingies, whatever it is, which Damon Lindelof says they're not clones. He knows what they are, but he's not telling us what they are yet.
Oh, but it's like, so that's why you're saying they're not clones.
Yeah, like, but clearly it's for, like, everybody else. They just look like fucking clones.
Yeah.
I mean, and we know that he's...
The only thing you can assume at this point.
Unless in the past...
A really large, like, I don't even know what that would be, like 20-something Earth.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is... If you remember the comic book, he made his own servant back then. He made the cat.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes people. He makes matter. But it's like, if they're not... Like, a clone means you're taking an existing person and you're making a copy of them. That's a clone.
Yes.
But if he's created people... And it's not... The thing about it is, as we know from the second episode and the third episode, there's more than one of them, and they know of each other.
Yeah.
They're not like, he's not like making him in secret and like, oh, he's fine. You know, like, oh, he got an accident.
It's not
he's
just like suddenly replacing somebody with, you know, with a new one. They like you said, they literally know about each other.
Yeah.
You know, and they're right there
the same name,
to dispose of the bodies of previous versions.
Like the reveal of them as being multiples of the same person during the play was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But then it's like they're also naive.
Oh, super. Like, you know,
like when they first bake the cake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
you're the best.
Yeah, it's and they call him Master, which is super creepy. Mm-hmm. Just in general. But yeah, so I think
have like a super happy attitude when what's her name is actually typing up the letter. Oh, that was really good, Master.
Yeah, like super unsettling, creepy. And then even the part where like the dude's watching him stomp on the frozen
guy
one
that looks like him.
Yeah. And then he goes, "Do you want to be my new?" And I was like, "What right? the fuck? No."
So far we've had 3 episodes that he's in and he's killed 2 of you.
I don't want to be Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, exactly.
Like so far Miss was it Crookshanks? Safe could be apparently other right. than the creepy naked massage thing she had to give him.
Right.
But yeah, it was super fucking strange to me. But yeah, it's so weird because like he's clearly obsessed with Dr. Manhattan still.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing the watchmaker's son. He's makes a rudimentary fucking spacesuit because apparently we never went to the moon in this history.
I forgot about how much of an alternate history this was.
It's weird because, and like,
I think that's what threw me off too. Is at the beginning, it was very weird to watch the show and trying to understand what was going on.
Because yeah.
I'm trying to put it in more of a now terminology type of thing when you can't. Because I don't even remember, they don't even really talk about things much as like computers or anything like
that. Well,
there's
no internet, there's no cell phones.
Yeah.
Because like
none of that was invented.
Yeah.
Because of what happened after the incident.
Yeah.
And people just kind of like, oh, you know, all this technology and whatnot is can be evil. Let's not.
Well, not just that, but a lot of it was predicated on technology used in military.
Mm-hmm.
And because there were no more wars, none of that was put
ever
forward
invented because yeah. it didn't need to be.
Exactly. So there was no pushing forward the cellular network to make cell phones.
Right.
There's no space travel, so there's no satellites.
There was no competition with the Russians to get to space, so there was no space travel.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's like Vought is literally trying to make rudimentary space flight and he uses a trebuchet because you see the model of it. Uh-huh. And then the preview for episode 4, you see him shoot, I'm going to guess, Mr. Phillips, another version, using the trebuchet. And I'm like, so he's trying to use a trebuchet to get someone into space. I'm no fucking astrophysicist.
Still doesn't explain how that dude is frozen solid.
It's a really powerful trebuchet.
It brings another point though, is that he ties a rope to the dude, like he's gonna pull you back or something,
yeah,
type of thing.
Like he's gonna get to space, but he needs to pull him back somehow.
Exactly.
And we're gonna be lost in space.
The only thing I can think of is like he's trying to build like a portal or something, like you know, you go through the portal and now I pull you back.
Yeah.
Thing. And he pulls him back, and he's just fucking frozen solid.
Yeah, because he puts him in a suit of armor with what looked to be leather.
Yeah.
Which was not airtight.
No, not airtight at all. Not very warm, apparently.
Yeah.
But then he goes and shoots that bison later on to try and get better leather. And that's when he encounters the
game warden. Yeah, it's so fucking strange. But the cool thing about the show, I mean, the show is tremendously done. Amazing actors. Amazing everything. But it's like these weird, like Joe was saying and I was saying, the weird absence of some technology but the appearance of other, like all electric cars.
Yeah. Or
like all the cars are electric.
You still have the owl, which was absolutely fantastic to see. I can't remember what they called the ship, but it was the owl.
Archimedes.
The Archimedes was there. So you have that weird technology. They have the x-ray vision and stuff like that. So it's weird to see that type of stuff and then just not see more common stuff that you're used to seeing in normal our world as it is.
Yeah. There's thousands of Easter eggs just sprinkled through the whole thing. Like the fact that like Robert Redford's the president right after Richard Nixon.
Yeah, right. Another actor.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so there was no Ronald Reagan because Nixon was president all the way through the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell on the poster when Redford took over. But there's like that things, and there's like the reparations, which were used for, or a real thing, that were used to basically pay back a violent crime deaths and stuff of slaves. And this is called reparations.
Yeah.
Because it's Robert Redford, so it's reparations. And it was used to pay back victims of the Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Things that basically kicked off the whole show. There's little things like that. There's a there's the genetics thing where she takes the DNA sample to get it tested. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that you can just give them, and within hours you get told your genealogy.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was also to see if you qualified for those,
the reparations. Yeah.
But she uses it to find out who that guy is because, you know, she doesn't know. And then to find out that that's her grandfather, I think
grandfather,
it was.
Yeah.
Was like, holy fuck. Like, where is this plot going? And then he just gets fucking abducted by a giant magnetic crane.
Yeah.
And just gone.
The one thing, and this made me mad because I didn't take it this way. When Lori Blake is leaving the phone booth, that weird fucking thing, which, by the way, they had it set up at this year's Comic-Con.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, those were set up. I remember seeing those there. That was part of their HBO thing for the Watchmen stuff.
Uh-huh.
But she was leaving that, and the car lands in front of her.
Right.
I took it because she looked up and sees what seems to be Mars blinking.
That it's Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan, right?
Right.
And it's talking about the whole joke, the brick.
She literally just got done talking to Dr. Manhattan. It takes so many seconds to
42 seconds, 42 to, go,
seconds
yeah.
to get there. So, there. But he knows the future, so he could have just materialized a car there and just
yeah.
boom. You're right.
On the podcast, Craig, he thinks it's the Angela's car. But that was an SUV, not a van.
Yeah.
She had a van
yeah.
that was taken with the magnet. I think that was Dr. Manhattan dropping a car as a joke.
And that's what I assume, too. Now, I do have my doubts just because they literally showed a car being taken up into the sky.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't make sense to me to be that vehicle.
Like, yeah.
Why would it suddenly come down in front of her after she just told this, you know, this weaving story about a kid throwing, you know, a brick and killing God?
Yeah.
Type of thing. She walks out of there and seconds later looks up in the sky. Like you said, you see something red, which, you know, could very well be Mars. You can actually see it with
yeah.
the naked eye at certain times of the year.
And Dr. Manhattan's there
and
who
Dr.
can manipulate
Manhattan's there.
Madden,
so it's
so.
Like it points more towards that than the
yeah.
other thing.
And then she's laughing at the fact that, because no one else would know that joke, really.
No. And on the flip side, she doesn't, as far as I'm aware, she doesn't know anything about the car being taken.
Yeah.
So why would that matter to her if that's the car?
Yeah, plus it gets crushed. Like, clearly it fell from a fucking
like
high
a
distance.
Far distance, yeah.
Like, the car is ruined.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the same vehicle. I'd have to go back and watch episode one. I almost believe Angela was driving a minivan, and that was clearly some kind of, like, mid-sized SUV.
Yeah.
And it, like, one was, like, more of a metallic color than the other one was, like, a flat gray or whatever. But,
yeah
I was like, that made me mad because, like, the thing that made me pissed off about it the most is Damon didn't correct him or anything.
Right, he just let it go.
Yeah. And
so
I was like,
you're just sitting there going, oh, tell me, dude.
Yeah, and, like, the other thing, too, is the car gets picked up. It has Louis Gossett Jr. in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
By a giant magnet. What the fuck was carrying it?
You don't see it.
Did she not see it?
I don't think she saw it.
I mean, she almost got killed by the fucking car as it fucking drifted over, but
yeah,
it's like, we don't even know what picked it up. What can, I mean, at this point, we don't know what the fuck can do it because,
well, the Archimedes is the only thing that they've ever shown that can do something
yeah.
like that. I mean, obviously not shown to pick up a car, but a flying thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That basically has no sound whatsoever.
Yeah, it's
it
very
has
quiet.
Some sort of night mode to it.
Yep.
That's the only thing that they've shown. So it has to be something within that line of technology.
Yeah, it's so strange. But yeah, there's, I mean, the show. And people are, I don't know if people are upset, but I know people have, like, equated it to, like, the way The Lost does it, because there's a correlation. Damon Lindelof created and wrote a shit ton of Lost, and obviously he made Watchmen. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever seen The Leftovers, which is the show that Damon Lindelof did before on HBO, he did the same thing. There's a lot of flashbacks. There's a lot of what the fuck is going on moments, the whole thing. And then there's just a deluge of fucking answers when you get them. Just like answer, 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 and then it's over. Unless you're lost and then you don't really have an answer at the end, but you do, but you don't. But it's, there's all this stuff, like, and he said it, he's like, I didn't, he's like, in one of the interviews I was watching, he's like, I'm just going to tell you right now, I've been a huge Watchmen fan since I was, you know, in my teens. He's like, I used to read that those 12 issues over and over again, and that's what informed my ways of storytelling. That's how I learned to storytell. So I stole all of that with the flashbacks and the sprinkling in of information all from Watchmen. And it makes perfect fucking sense mm-hmm. because that's exactly how the book goes and that's exactly how this show is going. And the other two big shows that he's made, and it even goes as far as like his, some of the stuff he's made for movie-wise. But like it's just so much in it. Like it's the comic book that the source material, as they call it, or well, they call it the Bible when they're working on the show. Those 12 issues were so jam-packed with things, like the fact that you didn't know Rorschach was the homeless guy with the "future is nigh" sign until later on, and the weird things like the fact that he's there during the murder of the comedian that starts off the whole thing, and all of that like goes back and forth. Like that's the same way they're doing the show. There's just so much just jammed in. Mm-hmm. Visuals, little things like Voight being going to move to Venezuela and having plastic surgery. Obviously somewhere random in the rolling hills of some place.
Right.
Away from everybody. Clearly does not go by his real name or a name in general. And like all these things, the Robert Redford poster, like the poster of the presidents that were in the classroom. And the fact the classroom had no technology in it whatsoever.
Right.
Like, they're not using a projector or anything. She's just making that fucking thing. Which is the other thing, too, is the fact that she's making a Vietnamese dish. And you're like, well, why is that? It's because she was born in Vietnam.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that makes her Vietnamese. No, because Vietnam's a state.
Mm-hmm.
Because we won the Vietnam War. And we took Vietnam as a state.
Yeah.
So it's like, what?
Yeah,
like,
right?
What the fuck? Are you shitting me right now? Like, all these different things. Like, the fact that she's like, oh, she's born in Vietnam. Oh, does it make her part Vietnamese? No, because her parents were probably in the military, but obviously they lived there.
Yeah.
And it's a state. Like, if you're born in Alaska, you're not Canadian.
No, you're American.
You're American. You're just born in Alaska. Yeah. Alaska's a state, so it's ours. Same thing. You're born in Hawaii. You're not Hawaiian. You're American.
Yeah.
Because it's an American state.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very interesting that little things they tell you but don't tell you. And it's like, it's one of those things you have to watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to everything. And I've missed a bunch. Even like listening to that podcast, they mentioned like in the first episode, they don't mention Dr. Manhattan's name until the second episode.
Okay.
Because there's the news thing in Don Johnson's house, right? When they're watching the news thing. Apparently they never mention Manhattan. They say Mars Watch.
Yes, they do.
And it's not until later on when someone brings up Dr. Manhattan. Oh, I thought Dr. Manhattan's on Mars or on the moon. No, he's on Mars or whatever they say. And it's like, oh, shit. But then there's a little thing, too. I guess in episode one, when they first mention him or episode two, when they first mention him, in the background, a coffee maker comes on and it's blue.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't either. I was like, what the fuck? Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Then there's the more blatant ones, like when she's making that the egg dish and she shows the smiley face made of the eggs.
Yes.
One of them has the blood.
Yeah.
Obviously, clearly that's an homage to the
little happy,
the happy button
with the blood on it.
And like, there's like things like that. I'm like, I'm missing so much stuff. Like, once all nine of these episodes are out, I'm going to fucking go through and watch all of them and in directly in order and try to pick out as much stuff. Because like, I picked out some stuff like the poster with Robert Redford, because at that point they hadn't mentioned Robert Redford being the president. And I was like, Why is it Robert Redford on a poster of presidents? And the fact that there's only four on there.
I didn't catch that, yeah.
And it's two old-timey ones. I couldn't really see the names. Nixon and then Redford, which means Redford, we knew from the comic book, Redford was in office for like 12 years or some nonsense. Longer than he would have been president for, because he was... When was he out of office? Like early 80s, right? Because Ronald Reagan was president. I would say early mid 80s. I should probably know this since I'm American and was born then. But anyway, so like that, obviously, clearly you know that in 85, when the 85, 86, when the comic book happens, Richard Nixon is still president.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, I think in the, they mentioned that he's president because they got rid of the rule, that law where you can only have two terms. And it's not just in time of war, it's just in general.
Mm-hmm.
So Redford could have possibly been president since like 86, 88, all the way to 2019. Because he was an active actor then, just like Ronald Reagan was an active actor and then became president. Same idea. And it's so fucking strange. It's like, I want to know these details, but I'm just never going to know.
Yeah.
You know?
They're just background things to that.
Yeah. And like the other thing with Dr. Manhattan, or with Ozymandias, Adrian Voigt, he's riding his horse and he's going ready to go take down the buffalo. He's riding over the hills and you see the flag,
mm-hmm.
the pirate flag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Right?
Why is that there?
Right?
What, like...
Is that just an homage to the... that
Black Freighter?
Yeah, the Black Freighter storyline that they had going on.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? It's like, or is so this
gonna lead to something else?
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It was pretty prominent, too, because it was a very, like, you're following a shot of him, and then it just ends on that flag.
And then he rides past it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Right?
You have Pirate Jenny?
And they haven't really made mention of it since.
Yeah, oh, it's so fucking strange to me. There's so much to it. And, like, the... Oh, and they mentioned that Rorschach's journal was published?
Yeah, it almost looks like what was that manifesto type thing?
Yeah, like they show it, and, like, and the one FBI agent even says, like...
I figured this would mean something towards the psychology of the people that are following it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, so that's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Rorschach's journal's out, and it's obviously probably been like one of those things where it's like, oh, it was published and then like underground published since then.
Yeah.
Because of, and there's no internet, so you can't just upload it and have people look at it.
Right.
So like it's all word of mouth and obviously like, you know, whatever. And it's well known, probably like, oh, that's not the truth. We were attacked by a space squid.
Mm.
That's another thing too, is like just a fucking, not like so people, weirdly mentioned.
Do the people not know that the, like, it, they show a clearly raining squid and then they cut away and you don't see the squid? Like, is it just not?
Yeah, it's just like something that happens. Like,
do they see the squid? Do they not? Like,
yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's so weird because, like, clearly when she gets out to wipe off her car, they know they're squids. Because that the cleaning truck comes by their house, has the squid logo on, it's like, hey, we're picking up.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
So you know it's there. They know they're there, and they know the reason why. But it's like, Rorschach's journal tells them the truth, that it wasn't, we weren't attacked. Well, maybe, I don't know if he did or not, because...
We don't have the full journal.
We don't have the journal, but I'm like guessing he tells the truth in it, because that's what his journal was for. But it's like, also, why is it still raining squid?
Right.
Like, and they have a timer that goes off.
This happen?
Yeah. And it's like, it happens enough where they have to have cleanup crews for them. And they have an alarm set for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just clearly in New York.
Right.
Because this is in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And by imaginations and knowledge, if you look at the flat globe, like Oklahoma and New York, they're not
close.
Fucking bordering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not like, you don't take a quick road trip to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So it's like, where the fuck, how is this a thing?
Yeah.
And it's obviously so prevalent that cars have squeegees in them for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cleanup crew, and there's a fucking alarm that goes off right before it happens.
Yeah.
And all squids have one eye.
But so far, it's only happened once.
So what we've seen, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, that's another question. Why is this still happening?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, clearly, the temporal displacement, whatever he used to bring the squid into New York as an attack, clearly is still running.
Right.
Like, so much so that thousands of them rain down at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's another fucking random weird thing that, like, I'm questioning, like, what?
Because they've only shown it once.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. They haven't shown it since.
Yeah.
So it's not a daily occurrence thing.
But it's enough to now have to all these things. Yeah. It's so, I don't know, it's weird to me. Like, does it happen everywhere?
It must. Like you said, it didn't just... Because the event happens in New York.
Yeah. Well, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Other squids could have attacked the planet.
Right.
We don't know.
Which would make more sense to get the whole world involved type thing.
Fuck New York, right? Like, yeah. They got a jackpot squid. They deserve it.
Exactly. But yeah. Like, what the fuck is going on? And that's... I'm happy to hear that you're saying... Because you obviously know The Watchmen more than I do.
Yeah.
You've read the books way more than I have. I've read them once and that's it.
But I have a couple copies if you want to borrow.
Yeah, you have a couple copies. But to sit there after episode one, I just was like, this is so fucking good. I have no goddamn fucking clue what's going on. And after episode two, this is getting even better. What the fuck is going on? Episode three, and still the same thing. Like, it just keeps ramping up how good it is and how well the acting and storyline and all the little things here and there are... And I still have no fucking clue what's going on. Like, where are we going with the story of the police chief and the hood and the KKK?
Yeah.
Clothes. Where are we going with her grandfather in the wheelchair who gets picked up
randomly by a magnet out of the sky?
Where are we fucking going with all of these fucking stories and how do they come together?
Yeah. Like, why is it clearly, and Damon said this on the podcast, the main story, the main character of the show is Angela Abar.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. It starts with the Black Wall Street Massacre.
Yeah.
You find out through an amazing flashback to World War I, where, which I did not know was a real thing, by the way, the Germans would fly over and drop those propaganda flyers to try to entice the black military to come to leave the American forces in France and come to Germany,
mm-hmm.
fight on our behalf because we don't treat you that way.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was a real thing.
Yeah.
I knew propaganda was a thing. That's a fucking word for Christ's sake. But I didn't know that was the thing they really did. But they actually based that flyer on a real one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that flyer, he puts it away. You don't see what happens, but you see the note written on it. Given, so like the father has the note still when he's there. Always mm-hmm. kept it on him. Wrote the note on it, tucked it in the kid's pocket. That kid grew up to be Lou Scott Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's looking at the fucking the same flyer with that, you know, protect this child or whatever it says.
Yeah.
Or keep this child safe or whatever it was. And it's that same flyer that was grabbed during World War I.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn.
Right?
Like, God damn. That's so goddamn good. But what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
Right.
Clearly, the soldier is the soldier you see during the massacre at Black Wall Street.
Yeah, trying to get his kid out, and he ends up getting killed.
He's going to kill the kid. Gets out.
And then just he has the other little girl.
Yep.
With him, and then just poof. Fast forward, what, 30, 40 years, something like that.
Yeah.
To present day, quote unquote.
Present day, like, it's so fucking strange to me.
And why does he think he has superpowers? Do you think I could lift 200 pounds?
Yeah, like, he asked her that first question. I was like, whatever, crazy black man in a fucking wheelchair.
Right.
Like, what's wrong with you? I'm just randomly say questions like that to people. Then, well, he hangs a man from a tree.
And why does he do it?
Yeah.
Don't know.
What, why, and who, if it wasn't, Lori says, it wasn't the 7th Cavalry because they will always take credit for
what they've done.
What they've done, right? And it's like, okay, so did they not kill him?
And if they didn't, why did he do it?
Yeah. Like, what's happening? And then the dude shows up during the funeral, and he's going to take the senator hostage. Okay, so clearly they're planning for this, but if they didn't kill him, how long did it take them to dig that tunnel?
Dude,
and know exactly where they're going to bury him.
Yeah, because they make mention even that funeral was happening really quick.
Yeah.
Because Lori Blake was like, why are you trying to bury him so quickly? What about an autopsy? What about, you know, they're saying, oh, he was hanged. That's how he died.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why aren't we double checking things in this? Why are we, you know, we're going to exhume the body anyway, is what she says offhandedly.
And then it gets blown up. It's like.
And then it gets blown up. Yeah.
Okay.
And even there, I love when they're talking inside the crypt, and she makes mention of the tire tracks, and you know, what's her name was thinking of an actual car, and she was like, "No, a wheelchair."
Yeah,
and you're like, "He was there? What?"
Yeah, like why was there wheelchairs there?
Why
like,
was it? Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh, it's so. It makes me happy, but it also makes me frustrated because. I want to just watch all of it right now so I can get the answers, and it's killing me waiting week for week.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's so good, and it makes me so upset because it's so well done, and I have a fear we're only going to get one season out of it. But also, like, I want to know what's happening.
Exactly.
Like, and, like, even like Damon said, and this will be the last thing I'll bring up because we're probably we're done.
Yeah.
During the podcast, like the last thing that Lori says in the comic book to essentially Night Owl 2 is he asks him, "What are you gonna do now?" He's like, "I'm gonna buy more guns."
Yeah.
And like Damon brought this up, and I don't think I ever thought this through. At one point, so you got to think Lori. Took the mantle of Silk Spectre, became Silk Spectre 2 from her mom. The end of this, she has confirmation that her father is who her father is.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to continue being a vigilante, like a mask, and she's going to take up the comedian's mantle? And then I was like thinking to myself, he says this, I'm like, are you going to tell us in this? Did she continue being a vigilante, a watchman, a Minuteman? Did she become the comedian too?
Right.
And then become a FBI agent when right. like law like the law was passed that vigilantism and masks were illegal, or are you just fucking with me now and bringing that up and I'm never gonna fucking find out,
right?
Like, are we gonna find out where Lori's been doing the last 35 years? No, cool, go fuck yourself. What is wrong with you?
Right?
Why would you do that to me? Like, why'd you even put that in my fucking head?
Because they're evil.
Assholes, I'm telling you.
Seriously.
Anyhow, speaking of assholes.
One thing before we end real quick, I wanted to clarify the Netflix thing, the podcast thing that I found earlier. So it's not exactly what I was saying. So Netflix is going to have a show called The Only Podcast Left, and it's a fictional companion to its new apocalyptic zombie show,
Daybreak. Okay.
So the podcast takes place in Daybreak's universe and tells the story of a group of teens who make a podcast during the apocalypse. And right now it is scheduled for release on Spotify December 12th. So it'll be kind of a companion show to that show.
I was thinking they have
be its own show.
Yeah, they have two other shows. They have two shows on Netflix right now that have to do with kids in an apocalypse. One is a zombie apocalypse. The other one's just an apocalypse.
Yeah.
One's Daybreak, the other one's The Last Kids on Earth, I think it's called.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's an animated one, which actually looks really good. Daybreak kind of looks terrible.
It does. But I thought that was interesting in what they were doing.
That's cool, though. I think that's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
The only problem is, like, you can't tease stuff in the podcast that happens in the show unless someone is going episode to episode, but Daybreak came out, like, last week.
Yeah, something like that.
Which means
this still isn't scheduled till December 12th.
Yeah,
yeah, they didn't plan this.
Yeah, it's like you probably should have done a week release of Daybreak and then a week release of the podcast at the same time.
Which would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, and hopefully maybe in the show they mention, oh, we're going to record our podcast.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, it's Apocalypse. How do you get this on the internet?
Find out.
Is there still an internet?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever.
All right.
Anyhow, speaking of assholes, comes naturally, we are
Joe.
I am Cody, and that's it for this week's episode, everybody. And as usual, that blank space was Mike. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.